This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey and looking at moral values or moral practices or ethics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that in the previous few ahadith summarizing the concept of overlooking or forgiving or being at a state of peace with oneself and the people around, or the concept of justice. Justice leads to a person to forgive, to overlook and to pardon other individuals. And that is the theme of today's hadith, about the good moral value of pardoning and forgiving and overlooking. Forgiveness of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And prior to that, we find that the Quran should be the embodiment of the believer. As many ulama have mentioned, that the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one key concept about them is to display them. It's to take the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's the one that pardons, that forgives, overlooks, accepts repentance, shows love and mercy and compassion. That a person should take the linguistic meanings of those names and display that inside their own life. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكِ. Show goodness to people just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed goodness to you. That's what a believer is. Amongst the deeper, intricate details of studying of aqa'id of belief is to strengthen one's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you see Him, yet no one will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of this earth. But that's how a person should embody their life, their feelings, the internal spiritualization of worship, ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, is as if they're standing facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's in all the other aspects as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most right. And we find many ahadith of overlooking and pardoning, forgiving. If that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should be trying to find that forgiveness. For what purpose? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irhamu man fil ard yarhamukum man fis sama, aw kama qal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Show mercy, compassion to whomever is upon the earth. يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And the one in the heavens, above the heavens, will show mercy towards you. So this is the reason why a person follows these traits, these values and characteristics, to gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such a stage that you find inside the Qur'an, even when major sins are carried out, you find a strong encouragement to forgive, to pardon, to overlook. Amongst the first obligations inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Baqarah, that we find, whereby it uses such terminology, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى. كُتِبَ بِمَعْنَى فُرِضَ. Just before the most famous ayat inside the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Fasting is prescribed for you, is an obligation. Before this, Allah mentions that Allah has prescribed for you, عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصَ فِي الْقَتْلَى. قِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى. For you to have a retaliation, a recompense regarding those individuals who have been killed. Whether it be a slave for a slave, a male for male or female for female, that we find, فَمَنْ رُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَعُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَّاءُ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ ذَلِكَ تَخْفِيفٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. The person should overlook and to pardon and to forgive. وَأَدَاءٌ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Whatever you need to take from the person, the blood money, whatever you agreed after killing this individual innocently, then you should give that to that individual. But before this, it mentioned the concept of forgiving. To take someone's life innocently is something hard for a person to forgive another individual. But as if this ayah is giving this ishara, hidden signal inside this verse, that to forgive, to pardon. But if you have to take your due wealth from that individual, then take it rightfully. Don't transgress the bounds. Agree upon something, the blood money needs to be returned to the individual. وَأَدَوْا إِلَيْهِ إِحْسَانِ ذَلِكَ تَخْفِيفٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَنِعْمَةٌ فَمَنْ اِعْتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّهُمْ تَتَّقُونَ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ. For you regarding retribution, blood money is life. Is life for you. Is a form of living for you. Meaning, this is a sign of success. That the laws and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of us have forgotten or failed to understand, gives life, rescues people. That's why many of us, we weaken in our relationship with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is no oppression. No one should think that the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala oppress an individual. The laws that we unfortunately implement at the moment are for our own personal interests. We oppress people for our own personal interests. The weak, the laws are implemented upon the weak. The rich, the people in authority, the people in power, they become scout free. They do whatever they want to do. Or as I said, they become above the law. No one becomes above the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the reason for this, a lack of understanding the law of Allah. A lack of governance of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we find that the weak are oppressed. People who have no voice are oppressed. People who have no rights, they are oppressed. That's not the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The law of Allah is life for everyone. Even for the non-Muslims, they understood maqasir al-sharia, they understood the intent of Islamic law. They'll see the protection. The mass killing that we find, the mass hardship inside the society will be taken away by implementation of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For any hal that we find that forgiveness is not a sign of weakness. As ulama have written, forgiveness is a sign of people of strength, of power, of dignity. Because some of us, we think that when a person forgives or pardons an individual, it's a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It's a sign of understanding. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the most strongest individual, the most strongest willpower individual. People oppressed him. People retaliated against him. People tried to kill him. People did actually execute the people around him. But you find that when he became victorious and he became successful inside his life, and even more so, he could have taught these individuals a lesson. But when he entered into Makkah, what did he say to such individuals? لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. No blame be upon you today. Allah is the one who forgives, who pardons. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Just as we began with displaying a concept of mercy, of compassion, of kindness. And he said to the Quraysh, to the followers, go all of you, أَنْتُمْ تُلَقَى, all of you are free. I'm not going to do anything to you on this day. And this is the end of his journey. The end of his journey, as we find the most final, complete surah, Imam Suyuti inside Al-Itqan fi Ulum Al-Quran mentions, the final surah set down to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is Surah Al-Nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. When a victory comes to you, and as we find Abdullah bin Abbas made tafsir this, when Umar posed this question, what is this surah speaking about? Some of them said it's speaking about victory, about conquest, about glory, about power, about might. What do you say about this surah, Ya Ibn Abbas? He said this is talking about ajal, mawtul rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, speaking about the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. His journey has come to an end. That the mission has been completed. وَرَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. You see people entering in troops, in groups, into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Years, 23 odd years of striving and struggling, that we find comes the conclusion. Person doesn't become arrogant, doesn't become proud. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. Glorify, magnify your Lord and seek His forgiveness. That's what a believer should do when they become mighty, powerful, become dominant. that they begin to thank, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you find the ni'm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us may remember the blessing of Allah when we fall ill or we fall short. Ulama of Tazkiyah mentioned, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once, as soon as you wake up in the morning and you see the blessings around you of al-akal wa shurb wal-awlad tijara al-amwal wealth, property, children, good life. That's real blessings. There's real shukr. The person at that moment is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not when they're lost, when they're taken away rightfully by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah, person begins to increase in goodness. Before that, a person should be in a state of goodness. As soon as a person wakes up, remembers, sees everything around them, praises and thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, at the end of the journey of the individual, end of as-salam, ba'd as-salam, nastaghfirullah thalatha marrat. We say astaghfirullah 3 times after as-salam. It's the end of the journey of as-salam, completion of as-salam. And likewise, the end of the life of the individual, fi istighfar. Person should be always making istighfar, not knowing what their final words will be when they're taken, lifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the Prophet alayhi salam, his key traits, key sifat of the Prophet alayhi salam, some was forgiveness. In his hadith is narrated or mentioned by Imam Tirmidhi in Sahih Sunan that we find. A companion posed this question. Sa'altu Aisha an khuluki Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I asked our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, I asked her about the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqalat lam yakun fahishan wala mutafahishan. He never spoke rude words. And he never behaved in an illicit, bad, evil manner. وَلَا سَخَابًا فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. He never used to raise his voice inside the marketplaces, shouting and screaming. وَلَا يَجْزِي بِالسَّيِّئَةِ السَّيِّئَةَ. He never responded an evil with evil. He never retaliated with a bad deed with another bad deed towards another individual. وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُو وَيَسْفَحُ. But rather he would pardon and forgive and overlook would be the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thus this is what he said to his followers around him, or these non-Muslims as well, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. No blame be upon you this day for what you've done. This, as we mentioned, was the end journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is also the end journey of Yusuf alayhi salam, because this verse inside Surah Yusuf, these 111 verses that we find sent down in the Meccan period that we find, the end journey of Yusuf alayhi salam was this. No blame upon you, my brothers. I pardon and I forgive you. And that's when I knock it in the Surah Yusuf. We should ponder and reflect upon Surah Yusuf, the 12th chapter of the Quran. These 111 verses that we find is the only surah inside the Quran that chronologically follows a story from the beginning to the end. There's no breaks. Except for the end, you find some certain other ayat that begin to come there. But the full story is listed. Only place inside the Quran. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أُوحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Allah begins. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We're going to narrate to you the best of stories. The best story inside the Quran is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. رَكِّزُوا عَلَى هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ. Focus upon this story, upon this surah. You see many marvels inside this surah that we find. Likewise, the end of this surah, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is not a made-up story, fables and myths, entertainment as some people may think. But this is story, ibra, lessons for people, men of understanding, intellect that we find. How great this surah, Surah Yusuf is that we find. Some ulama tafsir speak about fada'il of Surah Yusuf, the 12th surah of the Quran. Ibn Kathir mentions in his tafsir that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that teach your families, teach the ones that you love. Recite to them the story, Surah Yusuf, recite to them. And this story recited of Surah Yusuf, as we paraphrase the hadith, will take away any concept of jealousy, of hasad. وَإِنْ كَانَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ ضَعِيفِ. Even if this hadith, this narration is weak, وَلَكِنْ مَعْنَاهُ صَحِيحٌ. But its meaning is true. Because Surah Yusuf is full of nothing but jealousy. Jealousy that existed inside between the brethren. Existed towards Yusuf and Isaac towards Binyamin. That we find the whole story revolves around that. So there's an element of truth. Of studying Surah Yusuf that we find. Of repelling jealousy, taking jealousy away. Because we find, unfortunately, jealousy exists amongst ourselves. Jealousy is on different scales, as ulama have discussed. Hatta bayn al-ulama. Even amongst scholars that you find, that there'll be jealousy that exists there. So if it's amongst ulama, fama balu al-aqwam, al-awam. How about the masses of the people around us? Jealousy between siblings, rivalry between siblings, regarding wealth, property, etc. that we find. People around us, business transactions, whatever it may be, it exists amongst us. Person needs to expel it. Because إِنَّ الْحَسَدْ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارِ الْحَسَنَاتِ. Indeed, jealousy, paraphrase the hadith, Sunan Abi Dawood that we find. Jealousy, it bites away. It burns away your good deeds. Just like the fire burns away, Al-Hatta burns away wood. That's what it does, takes away the good deeds of the individual. So a person should be vigilant to remove this from their hearts. Take it out from their hearts. Likewise, when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioned about Surah Yusuf inside Sahih Muslim, whereby he mentioned when he was inside Hims, inside Surya, they asked him to recite the Quran, and he recited to them Surah Yusuf. And a person said that this is not Surah Yusuf, this is not how it was recited, it's supposed to be recited. He said, why not? This is the way that I recited it to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said that you've done well, you read well. You recited this surah well, Surah Yusuf. But Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was taken aback that why is this individual raising this concern? فَقَرَّبَ إِلَيْهِ, went towards this individual and began to smell alcohol from the mouth of this individual. You drink alcohol and you reject the Quran, speak about the Quran? Indeed, I will flog you for this. And then he flogged him. And hadith inside Sahih Muslim that we find. Intoxication that we find. What do you mean intoxication? Khamr intoxication is where that people begin to reject the Quran. Begin to question the Quran. فَأَيْحَالْ These are بَعْدُ الْفَضَائِلِ Some virtues of Surah Yusuf that we find that will take away the ill feelings and lead us towards a path of forgiveness, of forgiving other individuals. Likewise, that is Surah that we find. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ And it was said to Yusuf alayhi salam, وَأَوْحَيْنَا We've given you revelation. You're going to inform your brothers about this affair of theirs, this treachery, this deception of them. For Sabr Yusuf, Yusuf alayhi salam, many sunni, many years, Atil Rishin Sana, 20 years, patient, what they've done to him, what they carried out to him. Eventually, finally, he meets them. And how does he respond to them? Read the surah in great detail. Does he take away their rights from them? Does he say to them, you oppressed me when I was young? You took this away from me? You took love and affection away from me and my father. What did Yaqub alayhi salam say? For sabr al-jameel, wa Allah musta'an wa la ma tasifun. What a beautiful patience. Yaqub alayhi salam ripped away from his son. For sabr al-jameel, beautiful patience about what they ascribe, what they say. In other places of the Quran, you find that you're going to weep and cry so much. You're going to lose your eyesight, becoming a state of madness. And he wept so much, he lost his eyesight. Remembering Yusuf alayhi salam. And that's the final occasion of Qamis. Three occasions Allah mentions the shirt inside the surah. And the final moment, Yusuf sends the shirt and says, throw this over the face of my father. Let him smell it. So he knows that he's still living. And when he places the shirt, his eyesight is returned back to him. Imagine that loss, being separated for many years. But look at Yusuf alayhi salam. إِنَّوْ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُدِيُّ عَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Whoever is patient, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never lets their good deeds go to waste. Never ever. That's what Yusuf alayhi salam, he displayed. That's the iman of forgiveness. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ, at the end of his journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed likewise a blessing upon him, gave him revelation. لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولُ رُؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ Indeed, Allah gave the revelation. وَحْيُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ رؤيا الأنبياء وحي. Dreams of prophets are نوع من الوحي, are forms of revelation to the prophets. So when the Prophet saw in a dream, you're going to enter into Masjid al-Haram, you're going to conquer it once again. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. You're going to enter in a state of peace, shaving off your heads. This is a miracle, a dream given to the Prophet that he will conquer, he will rule. And when he did enter, did rule, look at his response once again, how he showed pardon and forgiving the people around him. وَلَيَدْتِ بِسَيِّئَةِ سَيِّئَةَ. Never responded evil with evil that we find. And prior to that, لَمْ نَكُنْ فَاحِشًا وَلَمْ مُتَفَاحِشًا, was never rude in his speech, never ill-mannered inside his speech, and never fell into any form of evil actions. وَلَا سَخَابًا فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ, I want to go around shouting inside the marketplaces, raising his voice inside the marketplaces. And the final part, or this concept of never responding evil with evil that we find, this was a major sign of prophethood. Read the journey of Salman al-Farisi. This was a sign that he was, one amongst the signs he was searching for, that the Prophet who's been sent will not repel evil with evil. He will never do that. Whoever harmed him, he will never harm them in that like manner towards these individuals. It was a sign that he was searching for, and a sign, as they say, that even the world was searching for to see. And that's as they say, the two wrongs, they don't make a right. We're a Muslim, a nation, we accept that there's problems and issues, but our belief and our life should be codified. If they bomb our countries, we don't bomb their countries. If they rob our wealth, we don't rob from their wealth. That's not how a Muslim conducts themselves. That's not the understanding of Sharia, that person should follow emotional feeling. That they bomb us, they harm us, then we can equally collateral damage. We could do exactly the same thing to them. No, Muslim doesn't do that. Muslim codifies their life, follows the parameters, doesn't become emotions that does whatever they want to do, follows whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do, whatever the Prophet ﷺ explained that inside the Quran, from the Quran that we find. And likewise we find cursing and reviling. A Muslim isn't one known to curse and to revile. It's become unfortunately common amongst some of us that we just curse and revile. That's we find in hadith inside Sahih Muslim that we find, O Messenger of Allah, pray against the mushrikun, the idolaters, the worshippers of idols. He said, I was not sent as an invoker of curses, rather I was sent as a mercy to guide people. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim. I wasn't sent to invoke la'an or shatam upon people. That's not the reason I was sent to mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The end of Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st chapter of Quran. Al-Anbiya, the prophets. The conclusion is Surah. We never sent you except for the mercy to mankind. That was the sending of the Prophet alayhi salam, not to curse and to revile and to condemn people that we find. وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُو وَيَسْفَحُ. But indeed he was one that would pardon, overlook and forgive people. قَوْلُ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَىٰ. To pardon and to forgive people is better than to do a good deed and to follow it with blame. You know, as a human being, the Prophet he felt the anguish, he felt the pain of them torturing and slaying of Hamza. He felt that pain inside his heart and his mind. That's why certain individuals, he didn't want to face them. But he never, every time he met them, he never blamed them. He never cursed them, he never reviled them. As I say, he kept his distance away from them, because as human nature, he couldn't bear what these individuals done to his beloved uncle. But he never went beyond the limitations. And like many of us today, that day in and day out, if someone harms us or does something to us, we may forgive, as I say, but we don't forget. In some form of discussion, it needs to be expressed again, this person done this, or this person said that, or this person took away my right. That's not real forgiveness. Forgiveness is to just overlook it, to pardon it, and to take it out of one's heart and one's mind, and to deliver something else in front of the individual is the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And thus we find numerous passages inside the Quran about the concept of forgiveness that we find. وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ. Those who stay away from the kaba'ir, the major sins, Stay away from all forms of sins, illicit misconduct, and bad behavior. You know, many of us will conclude that these are all major sins. We should stay away from them. But look how the Quran is very intricate and detailed. That there's other type of sins, major sins. A shadow of major sins or major actions that we need to develop inside our life. Just like we seek forgiveness from major sins. The Quran mentions, وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning this? After speaking about major sins, of fawahish, bad conduct, bad behavior. Why is Allah saying that when they get angry, they pardon? What's the relationship between anger, between pardoning and forgiving, and between person who carries out al-fawahish? Because this is all part of training the soul. Not just to stay away from, many of us may be able to stay away from fawahish, stay away from illicit, bad conduct, bad behavior, stay away from zina. But many of us, we're not able to forgive at the same time. This is what Islam wants to create inside a human being. A complete identity. That just like you try to have this strong resolution inside your heart, stay away from zina, stay away from khamr, stay away from haram. Then likewise, stay away from getting angry, stay away. Develop your soul that to pardon and to forgive people, to overlook people, is also from a major concept of the believer. And likewise, we find this high concept of morality that we find that we need to develop inside ourselves. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. The recompense of a bad deed is a bad deed. Similar to it. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever pardons and forgives and reconciles and rectifies, then the reward of that individual will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, this verse is encouraging us to pardon and to forgive and to overlook. And likewise, in the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions again, وَلَمَنْ صَبْرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Whoever has patience and whoever forgives, indeed that is from the lofty aspirations, lofty goals. The Quran speaks about people of lofty goals and aspirations. Be patient. كَمَا صَبْرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Be patient, just like ulul azmi min ar-rusul, the strong convicted five anbiya's ulama tafsir that they mentioned. Convicted message, read through the seer of these individuals that we find. Nur, Ibrahim, wa Musa, wa Isa, wa Nabiyuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the five resolute, convicted prophets that you have. Read through their life. And what do you find inside their lives? A key element of forgiving, of overlooking. فَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ. Whoever is patient and forgives and pardons, indeed that is lofty goal, a lofty goal, a lofty resolute, a lofty aspiration. Another place inside the Quran, Allah mentions about certain traits and characteristics of believing individuals. Believing individuals, those individuals who spend of their wealth in a state of need, state of poverty, state of difficulty, and likewise a state of when they have that wealth, it's not a burden upon them. Then Allah mentions something beyond that. There may be some of us, once again, this could be a simple task, an easy task, of spending our wealth or doing these good deeds. Actually, prior to that, Allah mentions, سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَالْجَنَّةِ الْأَرْضُ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ الْأَرْضُ عُدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Allah mentions, سَارِعُوا, race, compete with one another to gain in paradise. Whose width is like the heavens and the earth. عِدَّةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, prepared for the believing individuals. What are the characteristics of these believing individuals, مُتَّقُونَ? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those who spend their wealth, when they have the wealth and they don't have the wealth. Then Allah mentions another characteristic, because maybe some of us spend the wealth. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. And those literally who swallow their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. They swallow their anger and they go beyond that as well. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. They pardon and they forgive people, overlook people. For what purpose, as we began with? وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves the doers of good. These are the traits of believers, symbols of believers inside the Quran that maybe some of us have forgotten. That we condense our life of just as-salah, al-zakah, and certain traits that we find externally, of dress or whatever it may be. Not to say they're not important, that's what we condense a life upon. But inner elements of forgiveness, of pardoning, of overlooking that we find, some of us are far away from that. And we need to tune our lives into that. That if we are believers in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to develop that inside our life. Instill that inside our life. Belief in the Prophet alayhi sallam isn't just mere slogans, sha'a'ir, symbols. Wa hatta al-qasa'id is not poetry. It's not anashid. It's not poetry, it's not songs that we find that people would display in these blessed days of Rabi'ul Awwal that we find. That's not what love of the Prophet alayhi sallam is. That's not what life of the believer is, or some of the modern world that we find. That they chant his name, sing about him. They say this is reverence, this is love towards the Prophet alayhi sallatu salam. Wa anta haliq, a clean shaven individual with musical instruments, singing songs and dancing, displaying that this is love for the Prophet alayhi sallatu salam. Ar-Rasul ba'id ankum, the Prophet alayhi sallam is far away from you. Far away from you. Because the Prophet alayhi sallatu salam, when he heard music, if you want to debate about music, read through his seerah. Would thrust his fingers into his ears and not entertain it. So what the world displays of their love, their emotion, this is nothing to do with the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. You love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your response is given. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. اِتِّبَعُ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ السَّلَامِ. Make اِتِّبَعُ فِي sunnah. Follow his sunnah inside your life, externally, internally. That's a symbol of Ahl sunnah. That's what shows your person Ahl sunnah. Not a person who dismantles his sunnah. Person who speaks ill of his sunnah. People who quote fabricated narrations, weak narrations, concocted stories to display love towards the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Ar-Rasul Bari Minkum is free from you. He doesn't need false narrations, myths and stories, fables invented about the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need you to protect him. He needs people to follow his sunnah, to follow his etiquette, to display their love. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَ الشَّاعِرُ لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَعَتَعْتُهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. If your love was true, indeed lovers obey the one that they love. When you love the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, you obey him, you follow him. And that's the Quran, some 36, 37 occasions in the Quran, obey Allah, obey the Messenger. Except for one place inside the Quran, inside Surah An-Nisa. Allah mentioned, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the Messenger has obeyed Allah. لِمَاذَا? Why throughout the Quran it mentions, وَطِيعُ اللَّهِ وَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ? Why does it mention throughout the Quran, obey Allah and then obey the Messenger? But one occasion inside the Quran, inside Surah An-Nisa. If you obey the Messenger, you obey Allah. لِتَدُلُّ عَلَى الْأَهْمِيَةِ طَاعَةِ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. To show the importance of obedience to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Life is so simple. Man ata'ani dakhala jannah. Wa man asani faqad aba aw dakhala an-nar aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is how simple it is to judge your life. To judge your life. This is how simple life is. We don't need to become great deep, intricate details of belief and fiqh that we find that the world may revolve around. Simple people. Man ata'ani dakhala al-jannah. Whoever obeys me, obeys the Prophet alayhi salam, will go where? To Jannah. Whoever refuses goes to Jahannam. Waman asani faqad aba. Whoever disobeys me has refused. We can judge our own selves, our own life. How many of us try to obey, follow the Prophet alayhi salam? How much of this Muslim ummah tries to obey him? And then they have the audacity to just say some lines of poetry, to chant his name, to sing about him, to speak about him. They think this will resolve the world problems that we find. This will resolve no problems. This will resolve no problems. Read the life of the Sahaba. Every single second of their life. If Salman al-Farsi was searching through his life, follow all the ways, all the adyan, and only found peace and comfort inside Islam. And when he saw, We saw the seal of Prophet on the blessed shoulder of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, the size of a pigeon's egg. Read Shama'il al-Tirmidhi of Imam Tirmidhi. Read the Shama'il of the Prophet alayhi salam. When he saw that, Salman al-Farsi was walking around him. For Rasul arafa dhalik, he knew that. He took off his shawl so he could see that on his blessed back. He could visualize that. Salman al-Farsi qabbalahu, began to weep, began to kiss it, saying, "This is a sign that I was searching for. Written inside our scriptures, this is the seal of prophethood. That's only given to the final prophet, to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam." Imagine that journey that he made. Wa rasulu fikum, the messenger lives amongst us today. Ayy ma'na, his sunnah, his seerah, his ahadith. And what do we implement inside our lives from the seerah that teaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And as we find in conclusion this hadith, charity does not decrease one's wealth. As many of us are familiar with, if anyone forgives, Allah increases his honor. That's when a person forgives and pardons, person does it lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person is not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will naturally, in return, person who forgives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will increase the rank of that individual inside this dunya. Antum shuhada Allahi ala al-ard. You are witnesses of Allah upon this earth. If the mass of people say that you are a good person, then that's true for that individual. If the mass of people say that you are a bad person, then that in retrospective is also true for that person. We are witnesses of Allah upon this earth. And that's a person who forgives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yarfa'u Allah. Allah will raise the rank of the individual, give honor to the individual. No one humbles himself for the sake of Allah, except for that Allah raises him in status. Whoever humbles themselves, that's what we find at-tawadu'. As a person should end their life, search for humility. Just like as we began with every day, you thank Allah for the blessings, then every day reflect the opposite. That if I was poor, if I was destitute, if I had no wealth, if I had no health, if I had no family members, if I had no children, if I had not, did not have this. That's when a person visualizes things around them. It places an individual more humility, more humbleness. No individual becomes humble inside their life, except for that Allah raises their rank inside this dunya, and more so inside the akhirah. And a pinnacle element of humbleness, humility, is forgiveness. Is to forgive enemies. That's what the Prophet ﷺ, he forgave his enemies. Forgave them, he pardoned them. If we read through his seerah, to what level did these individuals try to harm him? But he overlooked them. And many of our lives, if we study them in great detail, what do you find inside our lives? Petty disputes, worldly disputes, ego. Much of this suffering that we face on this earth is all about, ulama mentioned Rajul al-Hanbali, and other ulama speak about tazkiyah, about this ego, the soul, al-hawa nafs, the desire of the soul, not the desires of luxuries and wealth. There's a deeper ego that comes into the mind and the heart of the individual. That becomes your ilah, your deity, your ego. That you live and you die for your nafs, to protect yourself, your identity, your entity, your personal self. Everything in your life just revolves about you, about your own self. We can see it in a smaller scale as well, even the world around us, likes and dislikes. People get upset about it. People just all they want to look at what their Facebook likes are, what their life is all about. We should ponder and think, what does Allah like about me? What does Allah dislike about me? Why do we worry about the world? What the world would see, what the world would portray me. Whoever becomes the friend of Allah, the world will become the friend of that individual. And if the whole world becomes an enemy to that individual, if Allah is by your side, nothing can happen to that individual. Anta mutma'in, person is at peace, rest, contentment, deep devotion within their heart.